Let's turn now in our Bibles for our scripture text. Our reading this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 1. As I have been alluding to over the past few weeks, we are taking a break from the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to be spending roughly 2 months looking at the various themes in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is an Old Testament a wisdom letter or literature, and we're going to be reading Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 7. The book of Proverbs is found right after the book of the Psalms, Proverbs chapter 1. That's page 616. Proverbs 1, the first 7 verses. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. And here is our text for this morning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Thus far the reading, God's word, may he add his blessing to it. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today as we begin our series in the book of Proverbs, we are going to see that Proverbs forms a specific, a unique place in the Word of God, in the books of the Bible, because it reveals an ordered, a good way of living, and its specific purpose here given is to instill wisdom to God's people, to know wisdom, as verse 2, and to get instruction, to get guidance. And the way in which God gives wisdom and instruction and guidance to his people is by teaching them, by illustrating to them, by disciplining them and discipling them in the way of truth. This wisdom book displays for us, for all to see, what a good life is and what it means to live in accordance with God's plan, with his purpose, which, as this word says, is a life that leads to blessings and peace. But the fact is, as human nature tends to overemphasize our own wisdom and knowledge, we are hesitant to look to others, to look to other places for wisdom. We are each experts in our own eyes. But as it will be made abundantly clear today, true wisdom is never found in the self, is never found by looking inward, but it is always in looking outward, in looking to the source of truth. These wisdom letters include instruction. One of the purposes of the book of Proverbs, as we'll see later on, is to train not only children, but to train princes to become kings. Is to train us for the work that we are called to prepare counselors in Israel. These words speak to the various stations and situations in life. It's for the young and for the old, for the poor, for the rich, for the male, for the female, for the farmer, for the ruler, for the king. In the castle and in the home, in the city and in the country, these words come to us to instruct us in how we are to live. Because the fact is, we don't know by nature how to live rightly. By nature, we are each prone to go our own way and to do, as the book of Judges says, what is right in our own eyes. So today we are going to see that the book of Proverbs comes to us to teach us, to teach all people, how to find their way and to live a good, ordered life. A good education is here received, reared in godly discipline. This is the focus. Because the book of Proverbs is going to answer this principal question: what does wisdom look like, and where do I find it? So over these next few weeks, we're going to answer this question: what does wisdom look like, and where do I find it? It's going to be applied to all various situations in which we find ourselves. And we're going to look at this theme: Jesus Christ reveals true wisdom to those who look to him. Jesus Christ reveals true wisdom by revealing this to those who look to him. This book will guide us in our daily lives, give us good priorities, and set before us the choices that we should make. So as we begin, our first point is going to be that wisdom is found by looking to the Lord. As 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord, children, is not being afraid in the sense of running away from the Lord. When we think of being afraid of something, if you are afraid of something, you avoid it. You have no contact with it. You try to stay as far away from it as possible. That is not the fear that here is described. Fear here is a loving submission. It is a piety, a reverence. This fear is the fear that children have for their fathers. A little child sees their father as one who is strong, who is mighty, who is powerful, but who uses that might for their good, for their protection, knowing that their fathers are motivated by love. Godly fear is a respect, a reliance on, as well as a desire to obey, because of this intimate relationship in which we find ourselves. To fear the Lord is to know God, to depend upon him, and to delight in him and his word. This is what the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord is motivated by a twofold fact. On the one hand, we know that God is powerful and his wrath is bitter. We do not want to arouse the anger of God because we love the Lord. And on the other hand, his love is so sweet and his compassion and care so kind that we are filled with this affectionate reverence. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The beginning. This word beginning is a unique word. Because the word beginning in our mind thinks, well, you start, and after you start, you leave the beginning. After you're done with the beginning, you are in the middle and then to the end. After you begin the journey, you are no longer in the beginning. But this word beginning means it is not only the starting point, it is the chief point, the primary point, the most important part of living a wise, knowledge-filled life is here contained. That apart from everything else that you can pursue, if you don't have this, you don't have true wisdom and knowledge. Fearing God is the fountain from which all knowledge and wisdom flow forth. It is the most important aspect of a wise, ordained life. Your relationship to the Lord is what opens up your heart, your mind, to all wisdom and knowledge. To put this in the negative, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, if you don't fall before the Lord with fear, reverence, and awe, you cannot be wise. It's impossible to have wisdom and to not be in a good and loving relationship with the Lord. The word knowledge here is da'ath in Hebrew. And it is opposed to being foolish and ignorant. We're going to see that in our second point. So knowledge is not only knowing a set of information. Knowledge and wisdom means that you are living a good and ordered life that is directed by the way of truth. Listen to what Psalm 111 verse 10 says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And all those who practice it have good understanding. So in other words, there is no true knowledge without true godliness. Only those in a relationship with the Lord have been exposed to the fountain of truth. When a person is regenerated by the Spirit, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, when a person is united to Christ in faith, all of a sudden, their source of information changes. They no longer look to the world. They no longer trust what they read in the news or find on the internet, but their source of information is no longer found in the things of this world, but it is found in the things above. Our minds are changed, given the mind of Christ. Psalm 34, verse 11 says, "Come to me and listen, my children. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Not only is wisdom to be found only in a relationship with God by submitting yourself to Him and to His Word, it is also something which we are to pursue. It is something that James says we are to pray for. It is something which we are to run after and to search so that we might find. Throughout the book of Proverbs, we will find that wisdom is presented both as an impersonal and personal thing. At times, wisdom is spoken of as a friend, a lovely maiden, someone who is closer to us than our closest friends, someone who we need to have fellowship with, a relationship with. But it's also something which is given as something which is impersonal. It's better than silver or gold. It's a tree that gives blessings. As 2 verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." Any wisdom that we are to have will be found when we come to a proper relationship with the Lord. And we know that the only way that we can come to a proper relationship with the Lord is by submitting ourselves to him, humbly trusting in Christ as our only Savior, and praying that the Spirit of wisdom would fall upon us and dwell in our hearts. Because Jesus not only spoke about the truth, he not only revealed the truth, Jesus is presented in John as the truth. We cannot separate the truth from the ministry of Jesus Christ. Even Matthew 12 reveals that Jesus is greater than Solomon. Solomon, who is here in verse 1, says the one who collected or authored many of these Proverbs, Jesus is greater than Solomon. Jesus is the wisdom and even the power of God, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 says. So as we will see later on in our third point, the way to blessings and life, the way to wisdom and knowledge, a right ordered life, is found in coming to the Lord, fearing him, trusting in him with all of our heart. Job 28, verse 28 says this, "The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil, that is understanding." So the wise are those who look to the Lord, who depend on him, who trust in him, who fear, honor, and revere the Lord as their truth, as their source of knowledge and wisdom, getting guidance for those who want to live in a way that leads to blessing and life. But not everyone comes to this fountain of truth. As verse 7 continues, "But fools despise wisdom and discipline." The word for fool here in the Hebrew is evel, which kind of sounds like our word for evil, but it means one who mocks what is good and rejoices in what is foolhearted. A fool here is one who is silly, who has no seriousness, who laughs at life and religion and does not consider the consequences of their actions. He's one who jokes about God, making light of his word. He takes nothing serious. Psalm 1 says, "The fool is one who mocks the truth and piety, sitting in the seat of the mocker." The fool does not care what God says in his word and thinks little about the truth and what is truly right. It's this point, just by way of application, it's this point which sets a godly Christian education with what is completely at odds with the worldly education. It is a perspective change that realigns where we go for truth. The fact is, if you submit to the worldly concept of education, what does our world say? What does the world say education should be? A good education, the world says, is one that has no reference to God and takes his word and rips it out of the school. That's a good education in our worldly perspective. Where the Christian says the exact opposite. The only way you're going to get a good education is if you start with a fear of the Lord and you submit yourself to His Word. That is why a Christian education is completely at odds with the world's concept of wisdom. Wisdom, verse 7 says, cannot be gained on our own. And it is never discovered by our own way of learning. Wisdom is not natural to man. And when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, they lost what we call true knowledge. They lost that. Some people, however, simply cannot be taught. Perhaps you know someone like that who thinks they have all the answers, who refuses to listen to knowledge. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. The vain mocker has no appetite for truth and knowledge. To them, it is like vinegar to the teeth, or eyes, or smoke to the eyes. But the fact is, here Solomon says, or the Lord says, you are not sufficient in yourselves. You do not know the right way, and you will never come to the right way by trusting in yourselves. Earlier we read from Proverbs 3 verse 5. You still have your Bibles open. You can read these words with me. Proverbs 3 verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not trust in your own understanding. Or again, 3 verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. The reason this is so important is because when we put it in the context of the gospel is the truth that Jesus Christ reveals to us. But a proud individual says, I don't need you, God, to tell me what is right and wrong. I don't need you to tell me how I might be saved. I don't need you for anything. That is the proud man. The proud man shuts himself off. Not only from the fountain of truth and wisdom and knowledge, but from the fountain of life, because he looks to himself. If you want to be truly wise, you need to reject your own dictionary. Resist the self and acknowledge that human logic leads only to hell. You are to surround yourself with godly counselors. Open your heart and mind to the implanted seed of truth. For wisdom is rooted in God, revealed in His Word, and is not found in man's wisdom or in our knowledge or understanding. Godly humility resists the temptation that the Israelites fell into in the book of Judges. We do not do what is right in our own eyes. But we look at ourselves, our own logic, our own reasoning, our own mind, or even sometimes our own emotions. We look at them skeptically and we weigh them against God's Word. Is what I'm thinking here true? Are my emotions in accordance with wisdom? That is truth. So now as we come to the third point, we find that not only is truth, wisdom, knowledge, and discretion found in fearing the Lord and looking to Him and to His Word, not only is it found when you reject yourself and you refuse to trust in man, finally we see that this wisdom leads to life. Psalm 1 says that the blessed man, the man that is blessed, is one that does not walk in the way of wicked, but rather one who delights in the law of the Lord. The life of wisdom leads to blessings in this life and in the life to come. As we will see over these next few weeks, there are specific blessings that can be found in this life when you submit yourself to the way of truth, knowledge, and righteousness. The first area in which blessings are found in the book of Proverbs is found in the area of a restored created order. Not only was everything made by wisdom, as 3 verse 19 says, those who seek wisdom will bring about a blessing to this very life, this very world. A good, ordered, and wise life is one that avoids many of the resource-draining and enslaving sins that we find in our society. there is rich and practical truth that not only we as a church, but as a broader context, a community, are blessed with when we submit ourselves to what is true. Some of the areas in which we will talk about in the next few weeks is who we should marry. That's a practical truth. What kind of young men, what kind of women should you look for? What kind of a spouse should you date? You better be careful, because you're going to spend the rest of your life with this individual. Another area is how to use money. That's practical. What do you do with your bills? How hard should you work? How do you respond within the family? How should children relate to their parents? How should husbands and wives relate to each other? How should you relate to your employer or to your employee? In all these ways, we find there's real practical, there's an earthy truth that has immediate benefits and blessings. If you follow wisdom's ways, you will normally enjoy a life that is long and blessed. That word normally is very important. It will normally go well with you if you submit yourselves to the blessings that are here promised in God's word and to his way of truth. God's smile will shine upon you. The book of within the law, Old Testament law, they talked about living long in the land in which you will dwell. This world was created for man to enjoy and for his use, not to be man's god or his idol. It has a purpose. This book of Proverbs moves us towards using this world in a way which brings glory to God and is for the good of fellow man. This leads us to our second area of blessing, and these blessings center around moral order. When everyone does what is right in their own eyes, chaos ensues. You find this time and time again in the book of Judges. But if we submit ourselves to the law of God, not only will we, as we saw in the first point, find a creational blessing, that there is order into the nuts and bolts of daily living, but there is also a benefit found when we submit ourselves to God's moral law. Because if you steal and kill and lust, there are punishments in this life. If you would avoid them, you will find a life of blessing and peace. If you sow to the wind, you reap the whirlwind. The fact is, actions have consequences. If you play with fire, Proverbs will say, if you take a fire into your lap, don't be surprised if you get burnt. That's what happens. God wants it to go well with you in the home and in the school and at church and at work. So listen to wisdom. There is moral order and blessings to be found here. As Proverbs 4, verse 4 says, keep my commandments and live. Or 3, verse 8, my words will be healing to your flesh and refreshment for your bones, an expression of God's law, the Ten Commandments here applied. The worldview of Proverbs is clear. Choose wisdom, walk in the path of life, and find blessings. And finally, the third area of blessings to be found are found in the blessings of the coming restoration and spiritual restoration. This creation is moving towards an end. There is an end point to this world, a restoration and renewal when Jesus Christ comes back. Our world is currently groaning. In other words, Proverbs is leading us somewhere. It's going to point to something which we will never fully attain in this life. Proverbs is saying that something else is needed, a restoration. Sin and its effects need to be addressed and will be addressed when Jesus Christ comes back. And there are spiritual blessings that are found here when you submit yourselves to the Lord and live at peace with God. So there is, on the one hand, an eschatological restoration, and on the other hand, a spiritual restoration which can be found when you submit to God and to his word. Listen to what 3 verse 18 says. Wisdom is a tree of life. Does that sound familiar? Wisdom is a tree of life. If you lay hold of it, you will be blessed. This is big worldview Genesis to revelation kind of concepts that we're dealing with here. That what was lost when Adam and Eve rebelled against God was twofold. Creation itself was put in bondage, and we as human beings were placed in bondage to sin. And when you submit yourselves to the Word of God, to the wisdom of God, you will find restoration for both areas. For the creation in part in this life, which means Jesus has to come back to make everything new, and spiritually your relationship with the Lord finds a full restoration. 3 verse 16 says this, long life, riches, and honor. These are the blessings that are promised, life found in Christ and in conversing with His Word. Chapter 8, verse 35 says, to find wisdom is to find life and favor from the Lord. So ultimately, Jesus Christ not only reveals wisdom, but in your relationship to Him, you find life and life everlasting. Your soul is brought from bondage to liberty, to freedom, from death to life, from darkness to light. Sometimes things just don't go well in this world. And we're left saying at the end of the day, come, Lord Jesus. All of the blessings that can be found in this life, that's why I said earlier, I said that word normally is very important. Sometimes when you submit yourselves to God and to His words, things still just don't go right in this world. Your life isn't necessarily going to be long in this life, but it will be an eternal life in the world that is to come. True and lasting blessings are not found in the self, but they're found in embracing God and His Word. From Him comes life and true riches, and He will raise us up in the end. To conclude, this morning we have just begun our journey through the book of Proverbs, and we will look at some of these themes, but we have already seen today that blessings are promised to those who submit themselves to God's Word and who fear the Lord with all of their heart. Matthew Henry said this, conceitedness in our own wisdom is the greatest enemy to true religion. Man's pride is the greatest enemy to true religion. When we think we know better than God, things will only get worse. When you reject the fountain of living water and try to hew for yourself cisterns to hold water, you'll find that they are broken. They will not hold. So we submit ourselves to true wisdom. James, the book of James in the New Testament, is sometimes called the New Testament book of Proverbs. James 1 verse 5 says this, if you lack wisdom, ask God for it. Pray for wisdom. You don't pray being tossed to and fro. Pray with certainty. Pray with faith. James 3, verse 17. The wisdom from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, full of mercy, and full of good fruits. It is sown in peace by those who make peace. So today we see that Jesus Christ reveals true wisdom to those who look to Him. So trust in the Lord. Depend on the Lord's anointed one. For in this dependence on Christ and submitting yourself to His Word, you will find true abundance and life. And as we now, as a congregation, come to the Lord's table, we acknowledge that we need to be fed, that the food of this world does not meet our most pressing spiritual need, that we need to open our mouth and extend our hands, asking Jesus Christ, the only wise and full of truth God, to feed us and to nourish our souls. Because forgiveness of sins and life everlasting is found not in us, but in Him alone. And those who come to Him in faith will never be turned away. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this truth that You have revealed to us in Jesus Christ. And we thank You that Christ has opened for us the fountain of life and blessings. We thank You for revealing truth to us in Your Word. And we submit ourselves to You. We fear You. We honor, we worship, we adore You. And we thank You for the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting secured through Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.